So the topic is Shir Shirim, and I feel like I'm very privileged to be bringing to you this topic at this time, because as Amira said, we're living in crazy times, and it's all about the longing for Geula, for redemption. And Shir Shirim is all about longing for redemption. Traditionally, we say Shir Shirim Erev Shabbos as we go into Shabbos to bring up the longing of the love that the soul naturally has to its source in God, and the natural love that we have as Am Yisrael, as the Jewish people, for God, and the longing for the Geula to say enough with the exile, with the separation, and we just want the unity, the expressed love, the ultimate expression of all loves that has no mechitza in between ourselves and our beloved. And this is the song. So traditionally we say it every Erev Shabbos. We also traditionally say it. Some people don't leave their Seder table until they recite the Shir Shirim. There are some Haggadahs that actually have the Shir Shirim printed in the back of it. And it's like I said, it's a song of longing, of love. And it's written in the form of a mashal, of a proverb, of a, how do you say mashal, as an analogy. Without what the analogy stands for, it's so holy that every soul that recites this song is meant to experience the purest form of love that there is in the innermost parts of our being, which is to connect us with the holiest of things in life, of our own neshama, to its source in Hashem, and the love of the people of Israel. So who wrote Shir HaShirim? Shlomo HaMelech wrote Shir HaShirim, the one who built the Beis HaMikdash. He wrote three Megillot. It's called a Megillah, just like Megillas Esther. He wrote three other Megillot. One is, three books. One, Mishlei is a book of Proverbs. Another book he wrote is Kohelet, Ecclesiastes. Now, Kohelet and Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, Kohelet and Mishlei are all about Musar, about teaching the person how to properly live in this world, and to have proper fear of heaven, and proper how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in life. Shir HaShirim, when he wrote it, it's in a completely different other plane. There's no guidance other than the expression of love of a beloved to her mate, and the response of her beloved to her. This union of marriage that existed between the Kadosh Baruch Hu, God, and Am Yisrael, and Har Sinai, when we got the Torah, Matan Torah, after Yitziat Mitzrayim. And that's from a historical point of view. Al Pi Sod, according to Kabbalah, it's not a song of the union of Am Yisrael to God as much as it is the song of the soul, of the neshama of a person coming into this world and feeling the separation from this olam hashlemut that it came from, this complete world up above of complete spirituality, needing to come down into this world and what that experience feels like. It's torture not to be able to feel that connection all the time because of all the distractions and of the body and whatever happens in the world. And so it's in a big way, it's a song of love. It's all about love. Interestingly, we all know that having just come out of Purim and learned the Megillas Esther, that the name of God is not mentioned anywhere in the Megillah. But not many people mention the fact that name of Hashem does not appear in Shir HaShirim either. The song that describes the ultimate of connections of the soul to God, or the Jewish people to Knesset Israel, to Hashem. No mention of God. It's written in a mashal, in a way of a proverb, without really giving the explanation of what is in the book. How do we know what it's talking about? We go to Chazal, we go to rabbinic sources to understand the meaning and the implication of this long love song that seems to have much reference to a love relationship as it is between a husband and wife, and all its intimacy and the longing for the reunification once they're separated. When did he write this song, Shlomo HaMelech? He wrote it according to tradition. He wrote it at the time of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, when they brought the Aron HaKodesh, when they brought the Ark holding the tablets, the Aron HaKodesh, into Kodesh Kodashim, and placing it under the cherubim, the kuvim. And what was aroused there was such a tremendous love and a unity between Am Yisrael finally seeing in this world the representation of what that relationship is. And he was inspired to write it. And he chose the language of a love between a husband and wife. And we have to understand, why is that the ultimate of expressions for a love between ourselves and Hashem? The rabbis speak about this in very strong terms. People who reach Yerushirim and just keep it on the mundane, on the physical plane, without the understanding of what it implies in terms of relationship of a soul to its maker, or the connection of the Jewish people to its God, is the Ramban and others speak about it in very strong terms, that you cannot do that. It's taking the most precious of things and putting it in the filthiest of places. The way we're supposed to understand the mashal, the proverb, the analogy of the love between the husband and wife and the longing they have for each other, is that everything in this world has to be a springboard for our connection with Hashem. To fragment reality, to fragment our experience in this world, to just the stuff of this world, and not connecting it, not uniting it, not seeing how it's meant to be, to bring us closer to Hashem, is doing a disservice, and actually is the definition of exile. Exile means we are not connected to Hashem. Geula means we are connected to Hashem. Redemption means I understand my purpose. I understand why I'm here. I understand that God created the world. I believe in it. I understand it. I understand that God created this world and wants a connection with it, and has expressed the purpose of it for us to connect to Him through all the stuff of His world. Problem is, it's all in a concealed way. Why did God conceal the purpose in order for us to uncover and connect to it ourselves? What does that work look like? It means we always have to ask the question, how is this meant to be? How is this, whatever I'm experiencing, meant to bring me closer to myself, to the deepest truths about myself and my purpose and the purpose for the world? And when we discover it, and we can't do it without the help of Torah. Torah defines for us the way, the methods of which we can actually do it. We strip the layers of fragmentation, of seeming fragmentation that exists in the world, in order to bring it all back to Hashem. That's what the mitzvot are about. You take the stuff of this world and you use it for a holy purpose. And when we connect to Hashem in that way, that is already bringing the geula closer. So he chooses, Shlomo HaMelech, the language of love between a husband and wife, because love is about uniting two things that are seemingly apart from each other, that have no relevancy to each other, but they put their own selfish desires to draw pleasure for themselves. They put that aside and they say, how can I use what I'm receiving in order to bring benefit to the other, to my spouse? And that is the ultimate expression of unity. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that is exactly what the intention and the hope and the purpose of why we're saying it. We want to bring unity, that Hashem Elokeinu, that God, the holy name of Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, and Elokeinu, another name of God, which is a name that's expressed in the plural, Elokim. It's like, it's many forces. There's many godly forces in the world. And when you understand that all the forces in the world really speak to the unity of Hashem, then that is Geula. That is what Shema Yisrael, that's what we have to hear. And so there is, what is the paragraph that we say right after Shema Yisrael? Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. There's ahava. There's love in that connection. There's love in that understanding, because love is unity. And when people behave in a selfish way, that brings fragmentation and exile. So, okay, I'm looking now at my notes just to help reorient myself. Why is God's name not mentioned in Shir HaShirim? According to Rabbi Nachman in the Kuti Moran, lesson 243, I'm quoting. I'll say it in Hebrew and then I'll translate. Me'otzem kedushat, me'otzem kedushata lo ro'im shem sham et ha'kedusha. Ki lo kol ha'olam yichol lisbol kedusha. He says, from the holiness that is inherent in it, in Shir HaShirim, not everyone can handle that level of kedusha. What he means is like this: in order to experience love the way we've been expressing it, the way I've been explaining it, not selfishly drawing things to myself. We say we love cake. We don't love cake. We love ourselves eating cake, because it's a drawing to ourselves of something that we like, we love. But to truly love means I'm receiving in order to be mashpia on others. I'm receiving in order to bring benefit to others. And when you have holiness exposed like that, the pleasure of holiness, without that mindset of how I'm going to receive from it in order to bring benefit to the world, repair to the world, to relationships, to my own neshama, and its blockages, to my relationship with my family, with my husband, with my kids, and the world, then if Kedusha is just exposed and I'm of the mindset of an egotistical being, then I bring more damage. It's like drawing, in the language of the Kabbalists, you're drawing light to a vessel that can't contain it. What will happen? It'll break the vessel. And so this Song of Songs that we read, the Shir HaShirim, it's meant to build the kelim, the vessels of longing of what is really true and worthwhile in the world. So we read about this love relationship, and it's supposed to awaken within us what it's all about. Chazal tell us, this in Gemara and Yadayim, I'm looking at the clock and I'm going to end up being frustrated not being able to share everything that I've prepared. And I want to get through as much as possible. Anyway, Gemara in Masechet Yadayim, Gimel Hay, and Midrash Tanchuma, they quote what Rabbi Akiva said about Shir HaShirim. He said, all songs are holy, but Shir HaShirim is holy of holies. Kodesh Kodeshim. Where else do we have Kodesh Kodeshim? Obviously, in Beis HaMikdash. What was the whole thing about Kodesh Kodesh and Beis HaMikdash? If we understand that, then you can understand the implication and the importance of this song and why it's so important. And why we say it Seder night, and why we say it going into Shabbos. What was the whole thing about Kodesh Kodashim? Kodesh Kodashim was a place that housed the Ark with the tablets of the law, with the Luchot. It was something, a place that was only accessible by the holiest person in the world, the high priest, Kohen Gadol, once a year, in the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippurim. And what that connection meant was it represented the chibur, the connection of God and the Jewish people in holiness. I'm going to read to you now what Yoma, Masechet Yoma, Gemara Yoma, page 54a, says about the love that was expressed through the Kodesh of Kodeshim and the cherubs that were hovering around above, you know, the cherubs, the golden cherubs with their, it was a form of a male and a female facing each other with wings like angels facing each other over the Aron Kodesh. And in Gemara 54a, it says like this about that experience. Rav Katina said, when the Jewish people would ascend for one of the pilgrimages, the pilgrimage festivals, the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, the priests would roll up the curtain for them and show them the cherubs, which were clinging to one another, and say to them, see how you are beloved before God, like the love of a male and a female. The two cherubs symbolize the Holy One, blessed be He, and the Jewish people. So this expression of borrowing from this world love between a husband and wife, male and female, was already used in the Kodesh Kodeshim to express the unbelievable bond that a neshama has to its maker. Kodesh Kodeshim was a place that showed the unity and the connection between the higher worlds and the higher spiritual realms and this lowly world, that there is a chibur between them. The Jewish people believe that God created the world and He is still involved in the world and it still takes interest in it. And the Jewish people are representative of that in the world. Our continued existence is an expression of that. And what it means to have a place on earth, the Beis HaMikdash, may it be rebuilt speedily in our days, Be'ezrat Hashem, Amen, with coming of Mashiach, this Pesach, Amen, is that it's where the heaven and earth kiss, as some people like to express it. Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh Kodeshim, was a place where heaven and earth kiss, to show that all that we see, let me explain to you like this. How do we say holy in Hebrew? Kodesh. It's holy. What is the word meaning not holy in Hebrew? Mundane, chol, like Yom Chol, regular day of the week. We have Shabbos Kodesh and then we have Yom Chol, the regular day. Chol in Hebrew also means sand. It's the same word. What defines sand? What is the quality of sand? It's made up of separate little grains, millions and millions of, but it points to fragmentation, of lack of unity. Even though it seems like, oh, it's just like sand. We go to the beach and we see like sand. But really, it's everyone on its own. And Kedusha means you take all of those separate things and you bring it up and unite them. Holiness is represented by unity. You want to know if you're behaving in a holy way? Check, gauge yourself. How am I united to my spouse, to my children, to my neighbors? How much care do I bring to that? How much egotism am I putting aside for the sake of the other? That's what Kedusha is defined. That's how it is defined in our holy sources. A Kabbalistic explanation. Love is the great connector of all things in reality and points the world to its source in Hashem. The world is meant to be a springboard and connection in order for God. I know I'm repeating myself, but that's what it is. And so somebody who aspires for Kedusha looks to see how can I bring myself in a love relationship to everything that God has given, and how do I express it by reflecting it back, getting out of my selfish mindset and bringing about unity. And when we function only with the desire to receive, without reflection, to a greater purpose, this brings about damage to ourselves, the world, and the connection. So now let me pause a little bit. It's 9:35. I have 10 more minutes to speak about the content. I've spoken about it by way of an introductory, and now let's look a little bit about the psukim. In terms of the content, it's a song about a husband and wife that are separated. It's very interesting that Shlomo HaMelech wrote this song in the ultimate expression of unity between God and the Jewish people in the temple built for the first time in Greater Israel. Eretz Yisrael is ruled by a Jewish king, a powerful, mighty, prosperous reign of the Jewish people at the time of Shlemut. At the time of Shlemut, of utter perfection, we couldn't get any better in terms of our national aspirations than what we experienced then with Shlomo HaMelech. And yet, it's at that time that through his Ruach HaKodesh, Shlomo HaMelech, in this great love that he experienced towards Hashem, he is looking in the future and lamenting over the time that there will be a destruction of the temples, and there will be exile after exile. And he wrote this song in order to give us chizuk, to strengthen ourselves, know that the connection we are experienced then, back then when we built the Beis HaMikdash, the connection, maybe we're in exile, but the connection and the bond that we have to God is still there. And so the whole Song of Songs is about the lament of being separated, of the wife, of the bride, of being separated from her beloved, and how she regrets her wayward behaviors that caused her to be kicked out of the palace of the king. And that's really, in terms of the mashal, the proverb, that's what the song is about. And she says in longingly, mashcheni acharecha, in verse, chapter 1, verse 4, she says, please draw me again to you and bring me back into your chambers and let us rejoice as we did in the night of our marriage. And she regrets, I know that I did so much wrong. And if you look at the sources, it speaks about leaving Egypt, getting the Torah, and not 49 days later, we sin with the golden calf, and what damage that brought to the relationship, and how much stench we brought to what was a beautiful scent of a relationship before, and we were separated, and the lament and the regret of the separation, and doing that over and over again in history, and saying we want back, really we want back. And also in the content of Shir HaShirim is the response of the beloved of God to the Jewish people's desire and yearning to once again be reunited with Hashem. It's a song all about wanting to get out of exile and get into redemption, but this time making it stick and not falling back on our ways that bring damage to the relationship. And God's response is to the beloved and his longing. There's many psukim, many verses that speak about the longing and the remembering of his bride and her beauty, how she followed him, and how he longs to be with her, following him in terms of faithfully leaving Mitzrayim, going into the desert, not knowing what the food will be, where the water will come from, not knowing what the shelter from the sun will be. And with pure faith, following Hashem, and he remembers that time, and he says to her in chapter 1, verse 15, "Hinach yafara yati, hinach yafai, hinach minim." You are so beautiful, my beloved. You are so beautiful. Your eyes are like doves. And the sources explain to us. It's written two times. Hinach yafara yati, hinach yafara. You are beautiful, my beloved. You are so beautiful. You are beautiful before your sin, and you are beautiful without your sin. After the sin, what is the implication? Even though we are separated and I had no choice but to remove you from the palace of the king, from Eretz Yisrael, from Beit HaMikdash, you should know that I'm still looking to you to reunite, even though we're separated, but it's not from a full heart. I have not divorced you. You are still my wife. And we need to just figure out to repair this. You need to do what you need to do in order to bring yourself back to proper repair so that we can be reunited with Hashem. And he says, Einayach Yomim, I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional, but it's amazing. Your eyes are lovely as doves. Why is the dove used as a metaphor? The dove is a unique species in that even after its mate dies, it doesn't couple with any other bird. It's very faithful to its first mate. And so, Chazal and the Gemaras actually take this analogy of Jewish people being like the Yonah. Kabbalistically, the Yonah is the dove is the soul, and its lament having to, you know, with the torture that it's what it goes through in a body that distracts it from its purpose and she just wants to get back to Hashem. But there's so many ways the Gemara explain the analogy between the dove and Am Yisrael. And another content, what we read in the Shir HaShirim, is the force and the power of the beloved, of the separated wife, the force and the power of her emuna and bitachon, the belief and the trust that they will, yes, once reunite. All of Shir HaShirim is written in the past tense. It's written about something that's going to happen in the future, but it's written already like as if it happened, which speaks about, which shows the belief that this will happen, the unification, the unity will happen. And included too are the claims of the nations of the world telling the beloved, get over it. Your husband threw you out of the house. He's never going to get you back. Get over it. Make peace with your with the situation. And she says, I'm not going to go back. And the responses of the Jewish people to the nations of the world. She says like this in chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6, Shorani v'neva b'not Yerushalayim, Al tir'uni shani shechachorid, Shezavdani ha-shemesh, Bnei imi nicharu bi, Samuni notera et ha-karmim, Karmi sheli lo natati. Shorani v'neva means, I may be black, she answers the nations of the world, but I am still beautiful. Because the black that you see, is just because of the sun has blackened me. But internally, I'm just as pure and just as longing. I am black because I gave into my vulnerabilities. I saw other cultures, and instead of taking care of my own vineyard, I went and took care of other people's vineyards. I was involved in other people's cultures. But no more. I want to go back. I want to take care of, I want to come back to my own vineyard and tend to my own vineyard. Culture, our my own culture, Torah and mitzvot. Now, if you were to open up the Shir HaShirim, you'll only see the mashal. You'll only see the song of a beloved speaking to her husband and his response to her, and you won't see clear references that this is the Jewish people or this is the neshama and this is God. And when this phrase is mentioned, you won't see it in an obvious way that they're talking about the nations of the world. This you have to go deep into the sources. It's one of those books that you cannot read, you cannot learn without Mefarshim, without commentaries. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. It has no place in Tanakh and the Bible to be expressed just whatever it says on the plain meaning of the text. But hopefully, this sharing that I have with you will raise an appreciation and understand that when you're reading those words of love, that it's meant to arouse our neshama to get back to purity, to get back to basics, to get back to essence, and reconnect us with the purpose for which God created the world, which is to connect the physical to the spiritual, to expose the spirituality that's hidden and implied in everything physical, even in the most intimate of relationships of a love between a husband and wife, and everything else. If you read the book in translation, because the language is so intimate in the Hebrew, I haven't come across any English translation that translates it literally, it's always, it will give you a certain pirush. We'll take Rashi's pirush and give it to you like the historical account of what went on and what is this referencing to, and this unity is, this love bond is meant to be speaking about, whether it's the spice offering of the Ketoret of Samim that we gave in the Holy Beis Hamikdash, or this Korban, or that Galus, and that Galus, whether it's Babel or Mitzrayim. But if you can read it in the Hebrew, read your translations, but if you can read it in Hebrew, it's a very powerful thing. Even if you don't understand, just knowing what it's about, go with the flow. Now, it's 9:45, but I really want to, I hope, Zemira, you're going to allow me to share with you three more psukim. Interesting points. It begins, the book opens with Shir HaShirim Asher Li Shlomo, Song of Song of Shlomo. Shlomo is understood as King Solomon, but our Chazal teach us that if you put the hey in front of Shlomo, then you have the word Hashalem, which means complete, perfection, completed perfection, which implies the intention of this song. The opening verse defines the intention of the entire song, to reach Shlemut, to reach perfection. And that purpose is reflected also in one of the verses of the last chapters, in chapter 8, verse 10. As Haiti Kemotzet Shalom, finally, by the time we get to the 8th chapter, we say, As Haiti Kemotzet, then I will be like one who found peace, profound perfection, Shlemut. Rav Kook says in Orot HaKodesh, Hakarat HaKol Mitzad Makor HaKol. The point is to recognize from everything the source of everything. That is perfection. That is unifying the physical with the spiritual. A beautiful thing. Okay, this is going to be my last words that I'm going to say. Special for our time, because it really speaks to our time. There's a pasuk in chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "Kol dodi dofek, hine zeba, mekapetz al ha'arim ad le'galvot." The voice of my beloved is knocking. I hear him knocking. I hear him coming. I hear God approaching. Hine zeba, he is approaching. Mekapetz al ha'arim ad le'galvot. He's jumping over mountaintops and he's skipping over hilltops. What does that mean? Depending on which mefarish you look for, too. But there's a Yalkut Shimoni, a Midrash Yalkut Shimoni, that explains this jumping of God over hilltops and skipping over mountains, and to refer to either two times of Jewish history, one in the past and one in the future. It either refers to how God redeemed us from Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim. We were not ready. We were really sunken into the 49th levels of Tuma and Mitzrayim. We were really much acculturated and adopted the cultures of so much of the mindsets of Mitzrayim. And it was hard for Moshe Rabbeinu to convince us to say that you're not about that. You're about holiness. Come follow me. You'll see how you could be tzaddikim. Only 1/5 of the people believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. And the excuses, this kor dodi dofek hine zeba, mekapetz harim, that God came and said, I'm willing to skip over stages. I'm not going to wait for you to be ready on your own to build, to purify yourself until it might be too late. So I have to skip over some steps. I'm going to reveal myself to you so that you can see the potential and then follow me. And the Yalkut Shimoni says, it's unbelievable. 4/5 remained in Mitzrayim. What was their excuse? They came up with all kinds of excuses. It's not right, the right time for redemption. I don't believe I could ever get out of them. I'm too stuck in my ways. All kinds of excuses. We were supposed to be here for 400 years. We haven't filled our fill. Only 400, only 210 years passed. God is saying, I'm skipping over mountains. I'm willing to skip over like stages. Dilug, yala, come. I'm going to take, come with me. How lamentable and how regrettable it is that we don't believe that God really wants us and is ready for us to just believe in it and make the leap of faith ourselves. And another time in history that the Yalkut Shimoni is referencing this pasuk to, of skipping over mountains, we hear the voice of our beloved calling, and it's about the times of Mashiach. the time of Gevulat HaMashiach. And Hashem is saying, I'm coming to redeem you. And we come up with all kinds of excuses. And the excuse that the Yalkut Shimoni brings puts it in the mouth of the people in the last generations of why we're not ready for Mashiach, even then, unbelievable. There is a, it's amazing, because the excuses that we come up are religious reasons. We have not yet been, there's a nevuah, there's a prophecy that says that we're going to be spread amongst all the 70 nations of the world. And you know what? There's some island in the Pacific Ocean that the Jew hasn't been yet subjugated. The Jew hasn't yet come over there and connected God through that experience of Galus over there. So we're not ready for Geula. Religious reasons. And then there's not religious reasons. But the religious reasons are the most, are the worst religions reasons. We come up with religious excuses why we can't leave America. I just started a new deck on my home. I need to experience Sukkot on my home. Could Mashiach, could you wait one more like season before you come? And Hashem is saying, but I'm ready. It's not about that. Your focus is completely different. And so I'm going to now conclude with a prayer that we should each feel the readiness of Geula in our own hearts. And the longing of the soul to reunite with Hashem, and the longing of the Jewish people as a whole, of Knesset Yisrael, to come back in a state of purity to Israel, Bikdusha, even those who are in Israel, but to purify ourselves, to understand that everything in the world is meant to connect us, a deep, longing love relationship to Hashem, and to understand that everything that we are given, everything we receive from God, we are meant to use it in order to benefit others and to take this time that we are in our homes to reflect deeply of where we, what galus we are experiencing within our own selves, with our own, in our own bodies, the neshama, the disconnect that we have to everything that the Chirushim is meant to arouse within us, of making the right connections to holiness and purity and all the other people. And we should, and I wish the refuah shleima to all those sick with the coronavirus or otherwise. Hashem should bring complete healing to the world, and we should come with a mindset, with an understanding, with greater mochin, with godless of mochin, with expanded consciousness, to really bring repair to the world. Once we're allowed to leave our homes, to look at it with fresh eyes, that will connect everything back to its source. Thank you so much. I'm ready to, you have plenty of time till 10:05. Oh, okay, fine. So you know what? I'm going to now open up for questions. You can either unmute yourself or you can, you know, put the mouse on the screen and look at the chat button and type in a question. And we can open it up for discussion right now, whatever you wish. So if that's the case, no one has a question for me. If no one has a question for me, so I'll say one more thing, that feel free to type in a question on the chat or unmute yourself. There's many references, you know we're on WhatsApp chats and we're on Facebook pages and we're so connected now, and pretty much the same, it's amazing how the same messages come to me from so many different chats and groups that wouldn't necessarily have a connection between them, but everyone's circulating the same messages right now. One of the things that's circulating, I don't know if it hit your way, WhatsApp chats and your Facebook pages, is the segula, the merit of saying Pitum HaKtoret these days, reciting the spice offering that we did in the Beis HaMikdash, and how that is meritorious in terms of stopping magifot, stopping pandemics from happening, and the merit of it. So I wanted to point out that in Shir HaShirim there's a lot of references to the Ktoret, to the Besamim that was in the Beis HaMikdash. And one verse that I'm going to share. Yes, right. Excellent. I just read some comments. Beautiful. So there's in chapter 1, verse 13. In chapter 1, verse 13, it's written like this. Tzror hamor dodi li ben Shaddai Yalin. It speaks about the bunch of mor the spices that were in the shemen amishchan, the anointing oil. Shlomo Melech and Shishim makes references to the spices, the tzror hamor, I'm losing my English now. Zmir, can you help me? The tzror, this bunch of spices that were held together, that we brought, that were used in the Shemen HaMishchan. Shemen HaMishchan, the anointing oil, was of course smeared on all the holy vessels and the menorah and the shulchan and even the kohanim and the big day kahuna. What it's meant to arouse is that it's the scent of the beautiful bride to her beloved, the pitum haktoret. These beautiful smells of the ktoret was like the bride that was readying herself for the wedding night, beautifying herself, also with a scent, and how it arouses the love of the beloved to her. Another verse is chapter 1, verse 14. Eshkol ha-kofer dodili b'karmei en gedi. The spices that were drawn to the Pitum HaKtoret, they were all Eshkol HaKofer. They were all inclusive in that in the Ktoret you had 11 spices, 10 beautiful smelling spices, and one really stinky spice. But together with the other spices, it beautified the whole thing. It improved the scent of all the others, and that is a reference that. How important it is for us to work on the unity that we have to every member of the Jewish people, even the Rishayim, even the ones that we consider not having such good smells. And it's only in including every single person into our avodah, into our divine worship, that becomes something that God can receive. And that's what he's looking for us to do. The Pitum HaKtoret is just an expression of that, is a symbol of the unity we have to have in the Jewish people. Someone is saying here, can you see can I only see the comments, or everybody sees the comments? Anyway, I'm actually reading it for 40 days for Shidduch, for Hadas Bat Zipporah, and it's been, Bezat Hashem, Hadas Bat Zipporah.
You can see the ones that are privately to you, but we...
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Oi, okay. Okay. In the merit of you reciting Shir Shirim, may all those that need Shidduchim should get their Shidduch. All those who need healing should get healing. All those that are in need of Parnassa should get their Parnassa. All those who need repair within themselves should get healing within themselves. And we should see it reflected in the greater world, Bezrat Hashem. And it should be for a blessing.